good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of nickel block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nickelblock.tv.
The takeaway message is that these are some very serious charges. The charges involve a lot of threat to our community. The judge decided that the enhanced bail of $5 million was appropriate because of the danger posed by the nature of the allegations.
That's Sheriff Brian Martin talking about Damon Paslick. He's the man who's been accused of starting one of the California fires via arson. He's facing $5 million bond. Victims of the Louisiana flooding are now speaking out about their losses in the wake of federal disaster relief finally reaching the area. Here's one resident saying they lost just about everything.
Just trying to get out as fast as we could, and you can't get everything. We left with very few clothes and some pictures and documents, and that was about it. Got two vehicles out, lost four vehicles.
American Stacey Lewis is leading women's golf at the Olympics. She's 9 under par after shooting a 63 in the second round. Nicole Broach Larson of Denmark is 8 under through 15 holes. American Lexi Thompson is at minus 1 through 9. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
A video of a squid off the coast of California is going viral because of googly eyes. Here's correspondent Anthony Lucero with the story.
Samantha Wishnack is with the Ocean Exploration Trust.
We encountered a squid that was not expecting to see a 5,500-pound underwater robot with bright lights on it. It kind of explains that deer in the headlights kind of look.
The crew of the vessel, called the EV Nautilus, found the squid while exploring California's coast. The squid appears in a YouTube video sitting very still on the ocean floor with its eyes wide open. The video was published on Friday and has already received more than 1.2 million views. Crew members of the Nautilus say it's not much of a unique find. Squids such as this one are found by scuba divers all the time in the Pacific Northwest. I'm Anthony Lucero.
A woman in California very lucky to be alive after she fell off a balcony while sleepwalking. Here's the story.
The woman says she woke up a few weeks ago with her face buried in the windshield of a Miata. She says her head was hurting and her right side had a burning sensation. Hospital officials say she was sleepwalking and accidentally fell off her balcony onto a car three stories below. The woman says she remembers having a nightmare where someone was chasing her. Doctors say the fact the woman is a triathlete helped keep her injuries to a minimum. Jason Campidonia, San Diego.
Former NFL superstar Darren Sharper will spend at least 18 years in prison after he was convicted of drugging and raping as many as 16 women in four states. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Well, good afternoon. It's Thursday afternoon, August 18th, here at the Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station. Where do business people get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? Where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you just won't find anywhere else? Well, it's right here at Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host here on Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio. You can listen in every Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where you'll hear, sometimes I'll be in my what I call Vicki's soapbox rants. Sometimes we'll interview professionals in their respective fields and to learn more about business. And you can also hear reruns by going to the website, and each of the broadcasts is saved in the archives, and you can go back and listen to all of the folks that we have interviewed on this program. Today, we have the opportunity to meet Nicole Voigt, who I've known her for a while.
Again?
Right. So Nicole is an attorney and a partner in the Shanahan & Voigt LLC law firm in Flemington, New Jersey. You're not too far from here.
Not at all. Right across from the medical center.
So, Nicole, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. You know, I got to thinking about when we met. And it was we met years ago through Nujabo, I think, originally.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Probably around 2008.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, After that, we ran into each other, the BW and ICE networking group, and
correct.
Now here at the Chamber.
Right.
So that's, and I know you're a member of the Chamber.
Member of the Chamber. And we also both were involved with, and you still are, with the Small Business Development Center.
That's right. And I was looking through your resume and found that you were teaching the Legal 1 and 2 classes.
Yes.
I think Bob Shanahan, your partner, taught it as well.
He taught it, then I taught it for many years, and then he took it back again. So we're still bouncing it back between the two of us.
Yeah. Well, it's a great program, and everybody that comes to the classes walks away with so much information. And the neat thing about these classes, in my opinion, is that they deal with counselors and educators who are from the real world. It's not like it's textbook stuff.
Right.
It's from real world experience. And that's the whole point of this program of Teachable Moments in Business. And having been in business myself for 40 years, believe it, of course I started when I was about 10, I've learned so much. And my personal goal is to share that information with people to help them out, because I think that's what business is all about today, is helping other folks. So we're going to be talking about a number of suggestions and experiences that you've had in the legal world that have to do with a lot of small business owners will gain from what we talk about today. So before we get started, what I'd like to do is to go on to our sponsors and to hear some weather, and then we'll start talking.
Sounds
about
good.
Some ideas. Okay.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Here on Thursday afternoon, it looks like we have, temperature-wise, about 88 degrees, and there's a 20% chance of isolated thunderstorms. So although it's partly sunny on my way here into the office today, so that 20% may be enough at this point. This evening, we have isolated showers and thunderstorms before 10 o'clock, and then a slight chance of showers between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning. Partly cloudy with a low around 67 and light and variable wind. There's a chance of precipitation, as I said, at about 20%. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at the weather being partly sunny with a high near 88 and just a very slight wind. So when I come back, we'll talk further about Friday and through the weekend to see what we can prepare for weather-wise.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
So again, thank you for joining us on the program today, Teachable Moments in Business. And I have here Nicole Voigt, who is an attorney, who is pretty impressive with her background. She practices business, real estate, land use, zoning, construction, farming matters. You have a very full plate there of experience.
Yeah, it's an interesting practice.
It certainly is. I was impressed by the fact that prior to practicing law, you attended the, you graduated from the University of Colorado. What did you study there?
Well, my undergraduate was actually at California Polytechnic State University, and that was in ecology and systematic biology and statistics. So I was basically a research ecologist, which focuses on biology, chemistry, geology all together at the ecosystem and level and beyond. So I won't get too complicated, but I could go on. So that was my first passion, was environmental sciences. And I did go on to the University of Colorado Boulder. I was in a full-ride PhD program there and researching and teaching. But I decided to stop at around, you know, master's level and take some time off, worked for the Park Service, and then decided to go to law school. Go figure. So, you know, my focus was really in real estate, land use, zoning, and environment. I also had been around construction my whole life. So anything that really involved the land, I was studying and dealing with. And initially practiced starting in 2000 up in Boston, focused in those areas. But when my life resettled in New Jersey, especially out here in the country, you diversify a little bit more. And I brought in the business piece, which I really love. And then, pleasantly, my farming practice has just evolved out of the needs of those around me. And, you know, here in Hunterdon and in central New Jersey and beyond, there's some very interesting issues that are developing in right to farm and in the various, you know, applications that are required for farmers. So I like my practice quite a bit. It's very interesting, and I get to work with amazing families, small businesses, and farmers in the community.
That's interesting. Yeah. You settled in the right county, didn't you?
Certainly did.
Of the changes going on, and of course, a lot of the developers are trying to move into Hunterdon County. So there has to be some controls on how that all happens.
Yeah, and what's interesting about having started out in environmental is the regulations are so onerous. My experience of working with complex regulations, administrative agencies, permitting processes, and so forth lends itself well to other heavily regulated areas, and it naturally, you know, is easy for me to find my way through it. New Jersey, being so heavily regulated in so many different sectors, there's plenty of work. I'm busy.
That's good. Keeps you out of trouble.
Keeps me out of trouble, yes.
I noticed that you are the founding member of the Rotary Club here in Hunterdon County. Is it based in Flemington?
That should be clarified, because there are many Rotary Clubs in Hunterdon, actually. Okay. There's a handful of different traditional Rotary Clubs, and we're familiar with those clubs. They've been around for a long time. The club that I founded was the first e-club in the District 7510, and I founded it with some of my colleagues. And it basically, our meetings are online, so we interact online in lieu of an in-person meeting every week. What that does is it provides more flexibility with time, it reduces the overall cost of membership, and it makes Rotary more accessible to people who can't afford to take 2 hours out of their week every week in order to go and regularly attend Rotary. In all other respects, the club is just the same as other Rotary clubs. We participate in community service. We can go to any other Rotary club around the world. We have opportunities to be involved with Rotary International and at the national level, and to share information with other clubs. So it's a very rewarding organization.
Are there other e-clubs, Rotary e-clubs around the nation?
Yes, there are. There's a handful that I'm aware of around the nation.
Really?
The format is still in development. We've had... we've been in fits and starts getting the e-club going, but we've got a really nice website up and running, and we also have a new wave of support to work on it even more in order to make the interactive experience even more streamlined and user-friendly.
Well, I'm curious. I know we talked about topics we're going to hit on today, but it occurred to me that because you have done a great deal of networking and because of starting this Rotary e-club organization, you're actually out there doing a lot of networking.
I have done a lot of networking. I started practicing in Hunterdon County, ended in New Jersey at the end of 2008, because I was initially up in Massachusetts. So I was coming in, you know, mid-career as a newbie in town. And I really needed to get out there and meet people and let them know who I was. But it also comes very naturally to me. I'm more of a relationship-based networker, where I find people who I get to know and I trust. And I want to make sure that I've got a good network to share with my clients, and that when people refer me, they can trust that their clients and friends and family will be handled with good care.
Well, I give you a lot of credit. You know, I teach a class at Raritan Valley Community College at the SBDC on networking skills. And so many people really undervalue networking and what they can gain from it. And you obviously have hit on the right thing, because you've been able to build a practice, I'm sure, just
yes.
through all those contacts that you've made. In fact, I don't run into that many attorneys at the networking groups that I go to occasionally.
Yeah.
But you don't see too many of them. But some ones you don't see are the ones that are complaining that things business is not great. So I suspect.
Well, they probably fall into two camps. They're looking for business, or they're just so busy with their established clients and referral networks that they don't need to be at the meetings.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I'm particularly interested in working with small business and mid-sized businesses and families. And that requires that you get out there and let yourself be known.
It really does. When we come back, I want to start talking about the formation of small businesses and partnerships.
Sure.
And to get some ideas from you to help our folks. Because today there are a lot of people that are starting their own businesses because perhaps they've decided to get out of the corporate rat race. They perhaps have lost jobs. And sometimes they just don't know where to start.
Right.
So that's something we can talk about. So if you'll bear with me, we're going to go to hear some of our sponsors.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So you're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, and I have Nicole Voigt here, who's a wonderful attorney here in Flemington, New Jersey. And many of you, our listeners, may have met her through the networking that she does. And you're very proactive, which is wonderful. As I had mentioned earlier, I work at the Small Business Development Center at Raritan College, where I teach quite a few courses, one of which is business plans. It's actually a 9-hour course. And we talk about the tactics and the thought process that goes through in forming a business. And some of the folks that come in for those programs do have to, many of them are going to have partners. In fact, I recommend they write the business plan together so that everybody's on the same page. But you have folks that come to you who want to start a business with a partner, and they need your advice and your help. So what are some of the tips and suggestions that you offer to these people?
Sure, I'd be glad to address that. And if you don't mind me backing up just a moment, you know, I'd like to point out that we have clients that come to us for two reasons. Right. One, generally speaking, is that they are endeavoring upon something new, and that is the business formation and leasing the property or purchasing the assets or so forth. They're engaging in some sort of a relationship, whether with a business partner or a landlord or a new employer, what have you. The other people who come to us are those who are well down the road in those relationships, and now they've had a breakdown. And there's a dispute or a problem that has arisen, and we need to help them navigate that risk in a way that protects them and keeps as many dollars in their pocket as possible. Both of those types of clients lend a lot of experience to our advising. So when somebody comes to me to form a new partnership, whether they're going to actually have a partnership or a limited liability company that's run as a partnership, we think about those problem cases that we've seen or that we know of, because we don't want our clients to fall into those same pitfalls. And, you know, part of what comes to mind when I think about partnerships are the inherent assumptions. It's really just human nature that people gravitate towards what they like in business. They gravitate towards those tasks they enjoy. So we all know the people who are a great contractor but not necessarily great at running a business, or they have all kinds of ideas for the brand and the marketing, but they're not really thinking about the accounting or the taxes. We gravitate towards what we like. And when you have a few people going into business together with assumptions involved in how things are going to be, you can find that there's some tasks that they want to just do differently, but they've never even discussed it, or other tasks that no one's even thinking about it, and other things that, you know, they're doubled up on. So understanding the respective responsibilities of each person and their authorities and who's going to be covering what is such an important strategy. And, you know, there's a new document that recently came out with changes in the LLC law called a statement of authority, which New Jersey is moving towards formalizing. We've gone ahead and created one for our clients so that they have it on hand, where we literally write all of the different authorities and you delegate who's going to be covering which responsibility. This is just one example of the way in which fleshing out the obligations and the rights of each person involved gets accomplished through reducing the agreement to a proper writing. And of course, there's other boilerplate terms that need to be in there that we address. And we at Shanahan and Voigt don't like the standard default provisions of New Jersey's Limited Liability Company Act. It was revised recently. And as you stated when we were chatting before the show, you have a colleague who recently has problems with their exit strategy for the business, near the ending of the business. Businesses end for various reasons. Someone's ready to retire, or there's a death or a disability, or there's a breakdown in the relationship. You know, these types of issues are foreseeable. We don't want to think about them, but it's part of what we can address at the point of formation. So, you know, if you're going to a new relationship, a business relationship with a friend, a colleague, a family member, or what have you, it's all the more important that these things are clear and reduced to writing so that you don't proceed on various assumptions and misunderstandings that once they come into play can get ugly really fast. We've seen many relationships ruined through business divorce and controversy at the cost of tens of thousands of dollars in litigation expenses. Of course, it's not what we want for our clients.
Right. You know, we had a client who represented a substantial amount of business. I earn money on commission. I'm a manufacturer's rep in the pet supply industry. And we had a customer that just literally closed the doors, and he bought hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. He never provided a list of the customers that he was serving so that we could pick up those clients and continue the service through other means. And he also had vendors that he probably left high and dry. So that's another part of exit strategy, too, is how are you going to handle your vendors and your customers to make sure that there's a smooth transition? By not being concerned about that, it really shows a disrespect for the relationship that he had in the past with those folks who got him where he was financially.
Right. Well, and not only that, but those lists have value.
Yes, they do.
You know, those are assets that can be bought and sold.
Yeah.
And so it sounds to me like that particular person must have had some sort of life circumstance that caused them to essentially bail, for lack of a more complex word.
Yeah.
You know, they just bailed for whatever reason. And we see that, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just get pushed to a limit where they throw their hands in the air and walk away.
Yeah.
But that's also a situation where, you know, having advisors involved, whether it's your accountant and or your attorney or whomever, they can take care of some business for
right.
you while you're attending to your personal life.
Well, that's interesting. And I totally agree. We had talked about commercial leasing, which is another aspect of business planning.
Correct.
What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I do a lot of lease work. Real estate is a huge portion of my practice, and we lease and purchase assets on behalf of businesses. For the small business, what we often see are that the landlords, the size of the landlord makes a difference, first of all. So if we're dealing with a national real estate trust and negotiating with them, you know, there's still room to negotiate, 100%. We always have a lot of negotiating going on in those leases. But you also need to know how far you can push and what's reasonable. And for the smaller, more local landlords, you know, we see everything from them trying to use leases that almost look like a residential lease to them having found some 20-page complex lease. But I'm on both sides for commercial. I represent both landlords and I represent tenants. And there's room for negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely 100%. For my small businesses, what I first look at is the personal liability. I've had these smaller companies, whether it's somebody who tried to do a business that was their dream or they purchased a franchise or what have you, I've had some people come to me where I didn't help them initially, but now they're in trouble and they want out of their commercial leases. It's really important to understand that everything we hear about leases being so tenant-friendly, that's only on the residential side in New Jersey. In the commercial side, you're two sophisticated business people entering into a relationship.
Mm.
And if you have committed to, you know, 5 years of rent you can't afford in the wrong area and your business just isn't making it and you've got a personal guarantee, you're not in a good position. One of the first things I look at when I have the opportunity to negotiate these things in the first place is that personal guarantee. We want to see some sort of limitation on it. There's various ways that we can craft that. What I like to see at a minimum is a burn down. You know, we put a cap on the personal liability. If we have a 5-year lease, then there'll be a cap for the first year. For the second year, it's 80% of that. For the third year, it is 60% of that, and so on. So that after the first initial 5-year term, the personal guarantee has burned down. And if they renew, no more personal guarantee. That's what I seek to see for my, you know, business client or my small business clients at a minimum. You know, at that point, the landlord has gotten a return on their initial investment. And if the client, the tenant renews, the landlord's just making more money without having to go find a new tenant. Why do they need a personal guarantee at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other negotiating tools we have as well with respect to the looking for personal liability. But I find that a lot of people will go ahead and just sign those carte blanche personal guarantees, which can be for more than the value of the rent. There could be holdover rent and other damages that they'll be on the line for. So that can really stymie your life if that business breaks down. You don't want your house to be on the line because your small business didn't make it.
It's interesting that you say that because there are people who decide not to. They ignore the value of a business plan, which would contain some financial spreadsheets and projections. And so when I meet folks like that, I'll say, how do you expect to pay for these rents or the overhead that you're going to incur, and they don't look ahead, and they don't go to anyone for advice. Do you have people that you – do you or do you have professionals who can look at the financial picture of a company before they enter into an agreement such as that?
100%. Absolutely. And, in fact, I really don't want to help – of course, I will help any small business that needs help, but I really would prefer to not help them in a vacuum. I would prefer that we're also having a conversation with, at a minimum, their accountant. And, you know, for leasing, it's different. When somebody's leasing commercial real estate, I really have to trust their due diligence. I can't do their due diligence for them. I don't do market analyses. You know, I've got a sense of what square footage is worth, but I'm not an appraiser. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to know their market and select their location well, and then we can make sure the lease is good. But what I see more on point to the question you asked is when you're purchasing a business, and we always require in our due diligence a period of time where you get to review the financials and all of the existing documentation as to that business's existing contracts, and it can be subject to confidentiality provisions, but you look at their profit and loss, mm-hmm. you know, their various statements, and I always want to see an accountant get in on that, and I have some that I really enjoy working with and trust inherently, and of course I'm happy to work with an existing accountant as well. But I always want to see them take a look at that. And it's also important because I need that accountant to advise on how the assets should be allocated. So we're going to have, you know, a purchase price. But how much of it is goodwill, the customer list, a covenant? You know, how much of it is the actual business assets? That all has tax consequences. So I do prefer a more holistic approach to assisting my clients where they're getting all the proper advice on the right questions.
Well, this is very interesting, very comprehensive in this discussion. I'm enjoying it a lot. I've learned a lot, and that's one thing that I get out of having these programs is that I'm a lifelong learner, so you're sharing information with me that I can pass along to my clients.
Great.
So I appreciate that. We're going to take a news break here and then talk about the weather, and we'll come back and chat again.
Good.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's starting to mold in places. We're getting most of it out right now. We're down to sheetrock and insulation and everything.
One Louisiana resident talking about the devastation flooding has had on his home and property. Officials in Louisiana say federal management agency officials are now landing in the site to provide support. They say the flooding is worse in some areas than it was during Hurricane Katrina. Vice presidential candidate Mike Pence slamming hard against Hillary Clinton.
The only thing that's wildly unrealistic is expecting you can elect the same people with the same bad ideas and get a different result. Men and women, Donald Trump is going to turn this economy around and get America working again.
Now it looks like Olympian Ryan Lochte lied. Police in Rio say they have video footage confirming that Ryan Lochte was not robbed at gunpoint, but instead got into a fight with a security guard at a gas station. USA Radio News.
We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nickel Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle, and when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nickelblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nickel Block is your best chance to stop smoking for good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of Nickel Block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nickelblock.tv.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki and Lynn Morgan, your host. Well, we're taking a look at the weather, and it appears that tonight we may have a chance of some rain. Tomorrow it will be mostly sunny with a high near 88 with a slight winds 3 to 5 miles per hour. But watch out. Here come the clouds and the chance of showers. So on Friday night we're looking at partly cloudy and southeast winds about 5 miles an hour. But then on Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. That sounds like last weekend. Mainly afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 86. And the chance of rain is about 30%. Again, the 30% continues through Saturday night. And then Sunday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high near 86, but a chance of more rain, 50%. So we seem to be getting hit with rain on the weekends, and some days we have, this has been crazy weather. So hopefully things will even out. So we're back with Nicole Voigt, and she's been sharing with us her clients, the issues that they face when they are forming a business, whether it's an LLC or a partnership. And one of the things that I run into, Nicole, is the fact that people are so passionate about their product or service that they figure that everything else is going to fall in place. And that often doesn't happen. And I've seen businesses that put themselves in business and out of business because they're not diligent when it comes to the administrative side, the handling of their financial situation. So there are a lot of pitfalls when you have a business. And so if someone can reach out to you, reach out to the Small Business Development Center for training, they are so much further ahead in achieving their goals.
100%. Absolutely agree. You know, what came to mind as you were talking about that is one particular client, and I'm cautious to not reveal too many details of my clients, especially in a small community such as this. But the story, if you don't mind, that comes to mind is a situation where, you know, this person was relatively young and impressive, very passionate about the business, and it was the type of business where many, many different families were customers of the business. And she handled it very well. She had a partner, and they really knew what they were doing in terms of delivering the service that they were delivering. And they hired various contractors to work for them on a seasonal basis and help out with this business. And it was just that situation. They knew their subject matter. They knew what they were teaching. They knew what they were doing, and they did it well. But in terms of actually running the business, managing the people who worked for them, having policies and the right contracts in place, you know, they were completely unprotected. And what happened was one of these contractors working for them decided to form the exact same business in the exact same area and take some of these customers. Hmm. Okay. Now, you know, one thing that an experienced attorney is going to do for you is not just evaluate it legally, but evaluate it practically. So you don't have an independent contractor agreement. You don't have a covenant not to compete. You don't have a non-solicitation, which would have prevented the solicitation of the customers or other employees. So what do you have? You have a basic sort of duty of loyalty that you can try to sue on. But what does that mean practically?
Yeah.
You're going to sue this person who these other customers clearly like and have chosen to go with in order to force them to come back to you at what cost? You know, and it's just an impracticability. Of course, they have the right to do it and they could seek an injunction. The cost that it would have taken, we redirected them. We said, spend a fraction of that. Learn your lesson. Take your lump. Let's get all your contracts in order. Let's get your business set up properly. Learn from it and then move forward. And because with those proper documents in place, the court proceeding that would be required is so much more efficient and smooth. You can claim that the other party has to pay you attorney's fees if you get it in the contract. Mm-hmm. You know, and it protects you because it has a chilling effect on their violating that provision in the first place. And that's what comes to mind when you talk about these people who they're master of their trade. But when it comes to the business practicalities, you really got to surround yourself with good people to be successful in this world. And that includes your professional advisors.
One of the situations that I ran into with a client a couple of years ago was a case where the owner was probably in business for 25 or 30 years. He had hired a young man to learn the business because he needed help. That young man not only learned the business, he left and started a competitive business.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I often, from the other, you know, sitting on the other side of the fence, so to speak, I'll say to my young business entrepreneurs, look for businesses that have been around for a long time, 15, 20 years or so. They are so vulnerable, not necessarily to work for them, but to steal to steal their thunder because they haven't kept up with all the strategies in business. So I always tell people, if you've been around for a while, you better go back to the drawing board. And they take their customers for granted. They haven't kept up with the technology. And they just become very blasé about running their businesses quite often if they've been in it for a long time.
I completely can see that. I can see that in not only other businesses, but in the legal profession as well.
Yeah,
it's definitely a very changing market for legal services.
That's
undoubtedly. Yeah. I mean, these days people feel like they can walk into Staples or go online and buy the contract they need. You know, and that's not a good idea. But it definitely affects the climate. And then there's everything we see on television, right? We can practice in 25 different practice areas. We have the answer in 30 seconds. We're going to be in court in 10 minutes, and it's going to be resolved in an hour, right? So, there's just a lot of pressures these days on business, and they're changing in our changing environment. We've got Yelp reviews and internet resources, and you know, I myself have sat in the doctor's office and Googled things while they were reading a report, you know, on the same medical condition. Obnoxiously. It's just a changing market for consuming information.
It really is. Yeah. Speaking of changing market, in business, I have actually three businesses under the name of Califon Connection, but the one business is we're independent sales representatives for pet product manufacturers. And any manufacturer, regardless of the industry that he's in, has to either put somebody on the payroll to be a salesperson, or they can hire an independent contractor who knows the marketplace, knows the customers, knows what the needs and wants are, and they will hire an independent contractor to do the selling. If there is no sale, the manufacturer has no liability. There's no money changing hands. So one of the things I mentioned to you before we got here today was the caveats for both the employers as well as the independent salespeople, and that could be other independents. But I'm specifically interested in the act of selling, because with that comes issues that where the salespeople expects to be paid a certain amount of commission, and they have. They rely heavily. I mean, that's their bread and butter. They expect to be paid. But there's got to be some sort of an agreement whereby they can be assured that it's a stable relationship. So do you have any thoughts on any of that?
Many, many. You know, especially here in Hunterdon County, we have a lot of independent contractors. You know, we've got a strong pharmaceutical and technology industry occurring in the region, and there's a lot of independent contracts that come out of that. Even some of the small businesses are then independent contractors of the larger businesses in the area. There's a lot of considerations, and the first thing I have to tell anybody involved in an independent contractor agreement is that anything that has been discussed, throw it out the window. At the end of the day, all that matters when you're driving down that road is the map you're holding in your hands, and that is the contract. So it doesn't matter if 5 miles back there was a road sign where they told you, oh, this is going to happen in 2 years. All that matters is what you're holding in your hands, the four corners of that document, because almost every single one of those documents is going to have a clause in it that doesn't allow you to consider other discussions. Mm-hmm. So if that contract is unambiguous, all you have to rely on is what's written in it. It doesn't matter if they said for sure you're going to have some profit sharing in 2 years. If it doesn't say it in the contract, and that contract has certain boilerplate provisions, which is called an integration clause, it basically says this agreement contains the entire agreement. You've probably seen it, that clause, you know, of the parties, and there's no other representations. Then all you have is that contract. So, you know, we want to be friendly. We want to shake hands. We want to sit down and have our feel-good conversations over coffee and feel like we know what's going on. But at the end of the day, it has to be reduced to writing. And if it's not in there, ask. Put it in there. Reducing understandings to writing is the perfect way to stick your toe in the pool water to see what the temperature is. You're going to be working for somebody, selling to somebody, employing somebody, renting from somebody, no matter what the relationship you're endeavoring in is. If they aren't willing to have a reasonable discussion and reduce their representations to writing in a fair way and not be threatened by your asking questions, do you really want to embark down that road?
That is so interesting that you said this, because I have a friend who may be listening today. She was hired to be a national sales manager for a certain company, and she was promised a bonus based on sales. The bonus was never put in writing. And so after many weeks and several months, she kept asking, well, what's my bonus program? They never put it in writing. And now the companies, this is one of the companies that started up. Now they're putting themselves out of business at mm-hmm. this point. So they've now let her go. But there might have been some bonus money in there because she had helped to create sales while she was there.
Right.
And there was no bonus.
No.
So that's... we all have to be mindful of these things. And at your point, putting everything in writing, there's no question. And I would agree with you that if a company can't put it in writing, is this a company you really want to work for? I think we get so caught up in the moment of perhaps needing a job or needing a contract to work for somebody. But if it's not right, should you do it?
It's a great way to formalize any relationship, you know. And I think sometimes people consider formalities to be unpleasantries, but they really are different. You can pleasantly engage in business. It's just business. You know, even if you're lending money to a family member or a friend to help them with their business, you know, if they're not willing to sign on a line that states an interest rate and a repayment plan and, you know, the whatever terms are discussed that matter, then they shouldn't be borrowing from you. You know, it's just a matter of basic respect, but most importantly, clarifying those misunderstandings that always, always seem to occur. And that's part of what I do when I read an agreement, is I see what's not there. And, you know, sometimes a person will know what they've discussed, and they don't really even notice that the agreement isn't adequately memorializing that as an obligation. And I see what's not there. You know, I talk to the client and find out, what are you really expecting here? What happens in this situation? And so long as they communicate thoroughly with me, we can make sure that that agreement protects them. Sometimes there's surprises. They're surprised at where they get pushback.
Right.
You know, what was discussed, they're not really willing to commit to. Or they clarify the caveat or what have you. I had one person come to me ready to leave one very, very good position as an independent contractor to take what appeared to be an even more attractive and lucrative position with a different company. You know, it felt like climbing a rung on the ladder. But when we really took a look at it and deconstructed the complexities of how the compensation package was drafted, it wasn't what they thought that it was. You know, and the technicalities of the legalese and deconstructing it and everything were such that it wasn't really clear to them at the outset. They were so grateful, you know, that I took a look at it and broke it down for them. And, of course, then they took it back to the company, discussed it, and found out that they weren't getting exactly what they thought they were getting, and they decided not to bail on the very good, happy position they already had. And were very grateful that they dodged a bullet, to put it in their own words.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We have a few more sponsors to hear from at the moment, and then we'll conclude our conversation. So bear with me here.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan speaking, and I have Nicole Voigt here, who's an attorney in Flemington, who has a, you know, I was reading your bio online, I got to tell you, and I was so impressed just by the titles and then all of the areas that you focus on within the titled areas. So you have real estate, land use, environmental work, landlord-tenant, general litigation and administrative proceedings, guardianship and estate planning, and business formation, transactions, and disputes.
Yes.
So that's a huge portfolio of knowledge.
It's evolved over time. You know, I've been practicing since 2000. And, you know, our firm, I work with Bob Shanahan, and we have Matt Tavares, who's in our office now, who's a wonderful addition to our team. And we each have some different areas of focus. So, you know, my estate planning and guardianship work is in support of Bob's practice primarily. I mostly focus on things that have to do with small business in the land. So if it touches dirt, you know, whether it's a tax assessment appeal, environmental, farming, buy sell, that's primarily what I deal with. And I support small businesses as well in their contracting, their lease negotiations, general disputes, litigation, and such. And I have a lot of clients who are also contractors and the construction side. And, you know, interestingly, now we have some post-Sandy construction disputes that we're dealing with, where we've got Hunterdon County property owners with beach homes, and they had some fly-by-night contractors, you know, after Sandy. So now we're handling that construction litigation. So it's interesting. The economy and the circumstances of our community sometimes affect where the practice goes. You know, now we're enjoying more land use work, whereas 6, 7, 8 years ago, we were advising more on distressed property owners facing foreclosures or being upside down or trying to come up with strategies for how to get their families through tough times. So
yeah,
we follow the need, and next thing you know, we've got a long list of things that we do.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we mentioned during the break that is the non-compete situation that people run into. And I can, years ago, when I first started in business 40 years ago, I had a partner, and he and I represented a single company. And we signed a non-compete agreement with them. And lo and behold, about, I don't know how many years later, it might have been 8 years later, they decided not to redo our contract for the work that we were doing. And, of course, there was a non-compete. So that the work that we were doing was done between the states of Maine to Virginia.
Mm.
So in theory, we were not to pursue that type of business in those 13 states, which forced us to go down into the Carolinas to work with in a new endeavor that was competitive.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time that I realized how devastating a non-compete clause can be for a small business owner. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I've seen it in that context. I've seen it where people have wanted to work and they can't work in a certain area because of it. And I've seen it protect businesses from having their own contractors and employees basically steal the know-how and then compete with them. And it cuts both ways. And so there's a reasonableness standard that's applied. And what the courts look at, it's very settled in the law, is non-competes, which are basically covenants that restrict one's ability to compete with the person that they're working for, and non-solicitation, which prevents them from soliciting the employees and the customers that exist for that business. These restrictive covenants must be reasonable in scope, reasonable in time, and reasonable in geography. So the scope is what geography, and for you, that was an extensive geography. I mean, you're talking about the entire northeastern United States.
That's correct.
So reasonable in scope, but then also reasonable in time. So 1 year, maybe 2 years, and they'll look at the particular industry to lend a knowledge of what would be a reasonable scope. And that's what is enforceable. So, you know, what we will look at when seeking the non-compete is, if we're representing the person who's working for the company, is to make sure that it is, in fact, reasonable. You know, I've seen them for hair salons where they might be 10 miles. I've seen them for doctors where it might be 60 miles for medical practices, you know, and beyond, like you experienced. So, you know, I would hope that that clause could have been negotiated for you. I mean, it is 2020 hindsight. People need to keep that in mind. You know, there's certain periods of time that a person can afford to do something else. If you can go 6 months or a year without having to work in that particular business, you can stay in the same area and wait it out. It really is very fact-specific to the company or to the individual who's faced with negotiating the covenant.
Well, yes, I think, again, hindsight is 2020.
It really
and,
is.
And
yeah.
That was back in the old days of 40 years ago. That was a long time ago. But people do face these today, and some people – it's almost a way of putting them out of business, obviously, if that's where their expertise is and they've signed that agreement.
Absolutely. And that one was quite extensive in its scope. I question whether that would have been deemed enforceable today. And then again, you're also now in an industry that's facing the internet as well. So, that also is an entire other complexity of the consideration of the scope of a non-compete.
That truly is. Well, we're coming down to the wire here. And I wanted to thank you for being on board with me today. You're great.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You provided
thank you.
Wonderful information. So please tell our audience how to reach you. And,
certainly.
Yeah.
I work at Shanahan and Voigt, and it's right across from Hunterdon Medical Center in the Raritan Commons, 200 Route 31 North in Flemington. We can be reached at 908-751-1551. And we also have a website that features our attorneys and our staff and has a lot of different helpful articles in various topic areas. The website is www.legalcounselnj, that's LegalCounselnj.com. And in fact, in sort of warming up for today's presentation, I wrote an article called advice from the bottom line or something like that, you know, learning tips from the bottom line, because the bottom line drives business. So you can get some more information on this topic there.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, we'll put that information into the Facebook page. I do have a Facebook page, Teachable Moments in Business. And also I have a Gmail account if anyone would like me to discuss a certain topic or to have an interview with someone who has information that they can share. Just reach out to Vicki Lynn Morgan at teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll come back again next Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's starting to mold in places. We're getting most of it out right now. We're down to sheetrock and insulation and everything.
One Louisiana resident talking about the devastation flooding has had on his home and property. Officials in Louisiana say federal management agency officials are now landing in the site to provide support. They say the flooding is worse in some areas than it was.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At a Q&A event hosted by Politico, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized former VP Joe Biden for his expressions of affection toward Lucy Flores at a campaign rally in Nevada back in 2014, but stopped short of condemning him or saying he's disqualified as a presidential candidate.
So to say I'm sorry that you were offended is not an apology. I'm sorry I invaded your space, but not I'm sorry you were offended.
President Trump is expected to visit the U.S.-Mexico border this week. The White House says the president will check out the newly completed section of the border wall near Calexico, California, on Friday. During the visit, the president will take part in a roundtable discussion with local law enforcement officials. Then the president is expected to attend a fundraising dinner in Los Angeles. Calexico is about 100 miles to the east of San Diego. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have.